Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of October 17, 2021. This week's sermon is titled, Who's Going to Satisfy Me? By Associate Pastor Frank Donato.
Well, we want to welcome everyone to New Hope Online. We're just started a new sermon series called The Feast of the Lord. And last week, Carrie looked at the seven feasts of the Lord. The first one he looked at is the Passover. Next week, he's going to be looking at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, this week, I want to take a little pause. Since he talked about the Passover, I want to talk about one of the elements in the Passover feast is the unleavened bread. And Jesus says that I am the bread of life. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at John chapter 6, verses 32 through 41 today, as Jesus says that he's the bread of life and what that means to us. Last Sunday, Porsche and I got a call from our lovely daughter and son-in-law. They were passing through Des Moines on their way to Southern Missouri, and they said, would you like to meet us at 5:30 at Cheesecake Factory? We said, you bet. So we go to Cheesecake Factory. This is Sunday evening, and you walk in, you sit at one of the tables, and they give you this menu. It looks like a book, and then they give you add-on menus, and I'm staring at this menu trying to figure out what I'm really hungry for. What am I going to order? And that's a tough decision. I start to open the menu and I try to decide. I'm trying to decide what's the one thing that's going to satisfy me because I'm really hungry and everything looks good. So the question that goes through my mind is, what should I get? So I asked the server, what do you suggest? And I asked the server, what would you order? And I started to quiz everybody around the table. Hey, what do you got to order? What do you got to order? Just trying to get any kind of hint of what I should order. And then usually when the food comes, this is what happens. I start looking at everybody's order on the table and I think, man, I wish I would have ordered that instead of what I got. And sometimes I'm looking at the menu, I become so desperate, I actually get up saying I'm going to go to the restroom, and I kind of do a sashay through the restaurant to see what everybody else has ordered and what looks good and what's the right thing, because I want to make a good decision. Well, I want to ask you a question today. What's the one thing that will really satisfy? And that's a deep question, and it requires a deep answer. What's the one thing that's really going to satisfy? You know, that's a picture of life, isn't it? What's the one thing that's going to satisfy? Because there's so many promises out there and options that promise a deep satisfaction. So we come to a point in our life, what do we pursue? What do we give ourselves up to? What do we order? What's the one thing that will really satisfy? Sometimes in life we see what other people have ordered, and sometimes you might think, well, if I had that, I would be satisfied in life. If I had what they had, if I had their success, if I had their marriage or their life, then I would be satisfied with that. On the other hand, sometimes we order and we get it and it's not what we really wanted. We wish that we have gotten some other thing. I wish I would have taken a different career path. I wish I would have made this investment, and then I'd be satisfied. And if we don't watch it, we're going to live a life of regret. What we got is really what we didn't want, but we thought we did. In life, sometimes we order things that aren't good for us. We order deep-fried things or things that are really unhealthy, and we start eating it, and we find ourselves we're stuffed, but we're not really satisfied, and we ask at the end of the day, why did I even order that? So here's the question I want to give you this morning. What is that really brings satisfaction? What is it that really brings satisfaction? What's the one thing that will truly satisfy me? Well, today we're going to be looking at one of the I am statements that Jesus gave. He says, I am the bread of life. So let's open the scripture today and spend some time in John chapter 6. Because Jesus says in verse 35 there, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will never grow hungry again. So as we start the story at the beginning of John chapter 6, let's enter the story together. The picture is Jesus just crossed over the Sea of Galilee to the other side, and a huge crowd is waiting for him there. At this time, when we read the story and enter the story, Jesus is at the peak of his popularity. It's the time when he's doing these awesome miracles and these awesome teaching. And it says that 5,000 people are there. So the crowd are listening to him all day, enjoying what he's saying. But it starts to get later in the day and they start to get hungry. And we all know when we're hungry, we're not usually happy. You know what I mean? I think that explains about sometimes I see supermodels, they're walking down the runway. They always look so angry. Well, the reason they look angry, they only weigh 37 pounds and they haven't had anything to eat all week and they're hungry and they look so angry. Well, that's what the crowd is. They're angry. They're getting hungry, and Jesus knows the situation. In verse 7, he says to the disciples, "What should we do here? All these people are here. What are we going to do for food?" Well, Philip brings up to the point. He says, "Even if I had 8 months of wages, it would only be enough money to buy food so that everyone else gets one bite." Well, Andrew comes up with this crazy idea. He sees a little boy and grabs a little boy and his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And he says, "Jesus, here's this little boy with some food." And Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the entire crowd. It says in verse 11, "Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated." Now, I want to put it on pause here. I don't want us to miss this point. How much did he give the crowd? He gave them as much as they wanted. He met their needs by filling them. Well, that night, as the story goes on, the crowd falls asleep. They're satisfied. They fall asleep at the hillside. The disciples bug out on the boat. They cross the Sea of Galilee again to Capernaum. Jesus meets them. You can read the story about Jesus walking on the water. And they go to the other side of the lake in the darkness of night. And verse 24, it says, "Once the crowd realized when they woke up that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and went to Capernaum in search for Jesus." So you have all these people getting in their boats, crossing the lake, seeking Jesus out. Now, why were they searching for him? Well, because they were hungry again. They woke up and they realized they needed another meal to eat. You see, their meal ticket had gone away, had crossed the lake, gone to the other side of the lake. And I think there's a spiritual truth that we can grab a hold of in this verse. Is that there's a difference between being stuffed and being satisfied. Let me say that again. There's a difference between being stuffed and being satisfied. So picture with me, we're back in the restaurant. We're back at the Cheesecake Factory. I'm holding this menu. I'm sitting at the table and I'm trying to decide what to order. And the server tries to help me out to make a decision. And the server says, "Well, how hungry are you?" Well, I think that can determine what I'm going to get off the menu. How hungry are you? So I want to ask you that question in a spiritual level. How hungry are you? You know, many souls are just starving and they don't even realize it. We fill ourselves with cheap substitutes. We stuffed ourselves with appetite suppressants, and we don't even realize our souls are becoming malnourished. A lot of us spiritually, we stuffed ourselves with the wrong things. We stuffed ourselves with the things of the world, and we don't even realize it, that we have this spiritual hunger. I don't know. Maybe you're stuffing yourself with work or a relationship. Maybe you're stuffing yourself with a toxic relationship that you're in, or it's sex or money. It's masking the true hunger that you have within, and you don't even realize it. Let's continue on in John chapter 6. Jesus here wants to move the crowd from hunger pains in their stomach to a deeper hunger of their soul. And verse 27, they asked him for food, and he said to the people, "Do not work for food. Don't pursue food that spoils,
but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus understands the situation. When the crowds followed them across the lake, the crowds were still searching for satisfaction. But Jesus knows that there's a deeper hunger within them that they might not even realize that needs to be addressed at this situation. Jesus could have satisfied their hunger. He could have called down bread from heaven, just as God called down manna from heaven. He could have done that. He could have fed them, but they would be missing out a much deeper satisfaction that He wants to offer them. You know, satisfaction begins knowing, first of all, that you're hungry. Let's go back to the restaurant. So the server asks me, what are you hungry for? What's your appetite these days? Well, can I ask you that question spiritually today? What are you hungry for? In Matthew 5, 6, Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. The Phillips version says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be satisfied. See, what you're hungry for means that being satisfied means that you're hungry for the right things. Jesus wants you to be satisfied and start being hungry for the right things. That's good news. What's your spiritual diet these days? Most people don't have much of a hunger for God. Most people think, you know, if I just eat once a week, that's enough. It's pretty much all I need and I won't feel hungry anymore. I want to ask you, well, what are you eating? What appetite do you have? What do you long for? Is it a stronger appetite that you have for worldly success or entertainment? Would you rather go to a movie or would you rather hang out with your grandkids on the weekend because they're in some kind of sports team and you want to travel with them to another town and you hunger for that more than coming to church? Well, what are you feeding yourself? What's your diet? What are you eating? It determines what you're hungry for. What you're hungry for has a lot to do with what you're ordering. So let's go back to the restaurant and let's review the scene. I'm holding the menu. The waiter's trying to help me decide what I want. And then finally he says, the waiter says, have you decided? Are you ready to order? Well, that's exactly the scene we find ourselves in as Jesus is dealing with the people who followed them across the lake. In John 6, he's going to have them make a decision. At this point, Jesus is just tired of all the crowds that are accumulating because they're just coming for a good show. He wants followers. He wants people with real relationship. So Jesus asks them, are you coming because you want free bread? Are you coming for me? You know, that's the day. We can ask the same question. Are you coming because you want more and more from Him? Or are you coming because you want more and more of Him? Well, verse 34, the people say to Jesus, from now on, give us this bread, give us this food. And they're still thinking about the physical bread. And here comes the famous I am statement that Jesus says. It's verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, I am. He's telling the crowd for the first time, I am the satisfaction. I've been what you've been looking for. Get past your physical desires and you'll try and find true satisfaction in me. It's interesting he uses bread here because bread was a common food back then. It was the primary meal. Everyone had bread. It was the main entree. Now today we have bread as a side dish. But there, it was the main dish. It was the main course. And Jesus says, I'm it. I'm the main entree. I am the main course. Back then, everybody had access to bread. The poor people had bread made from barley. The wealthier people had bread made from wheat. Everyone had access to bread. And Jesus is saying, I am available to everyone. And he uses this picture. I'm available to everyone. Everyone is invited to come and eat. Jesus doesn't say, I'm the filet mignon and I'm only available to the select few. No, he says, I am the bread of life.
Now that concept comes from Exodus chapter 3. And you know the story. Moses is walking around in the desert and he sees a bush that is burning, but it's not being consumed by the flames. And God speaks to him and God tells Moses, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and free all the Israelites out of Egypt." And Moses says, "Well, who do I say is saying this?" And God says, "I am." In verse 14, he says, "I am who I am." The word "I am" is the name of God. It's identified as God's name. And so in this picture, Jesus is saying, "I am." He uses the same word structure found in Exodus chapter 3. And that's not a so subtle way. He's saying, "I am God. I am Yahweh." Jesus says, "That's my name too. I have that name." And it's the first time he makes such a statement in his ministry. And you know what? It's decision time. In verse 41, "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him. They didn't like what he said. He said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?'" We know his parents. How can he make such a claim that he's God? And Jesus says in the next verse, or in verse 47, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. He who believes in me have everlasting life." He says, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which man may eat and not die." And Jesus says, "Just like God sent manna from heaven, God the Father has sent me from heaven." But here's the difference. In verse 51, Jesus says, "I am. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 53, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now that's unusual wording, isn't it? Jesus is not talking about a physical concept that we eat him and those things. He's using a spiritual concept. He's saying we eat of Jesus to sustain us, to satisfy our spiritual selves, to satisfy our souls. That same language is used in the Song of Solomon, describing a passionate love between a man and a woman. It says they're eating and drinking each other in. We say that phrase today. We say, "Well, he eats and drinks sports. She eats and drinks decorating." You see, they're passionate about it. They're consumed about it because that's what they're all about. This is how we know it's real. Are you following Jesus for what you get from him? Or are you following Jesus because it's a real relationship? And then in verse 66, it says, "From this time, many of the disciples, this large crowd, many of his followers turned back and no longer followed him." They just kind of bugged out of town. See, he's weeding out the crowd because they weren't wanting the true bread. You can follow Jesus without really being satisfied by him. You can come to church every week. You can read your Bible and still not find satisfaction in him. You still try to find satisfaction in other places. So are you finding satisfaction in the bread of life? Or are you just putting butter and jelly on a piece of bread that you're not really interested in? Well, this crowd, a lot of them leave. They go back home, they realize that Jesus isn't their heavenly ATM. They've got other things to do. And then it says in verse 67, Jesus says to those remaining, "Do you want to leave me too, do you?" They say, he said it with a sense of sadness and disappointment. People were looking for the right, wrong things. And the ironic thing and the frustrating thing, Jesus is right there. That's what they've been looking for all along, and the people don't ever see it.
And Simon Peter finally speaks up in the tenseness of the moment in verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, Peter got it. He understood. The spiritual light bulb finally came on in his life. He says, Jesus, there's nothing else on the menu that's going to satisfy. Everything else falls short. Jesus, you're it. No other place we can go that this can be found. I don't know why you're here today. Maybe you really don't feel hungry for the bread of life. Maybe sometimes you find yourself coming to church. Maybe as a kid you were raised up in the church, but then you just thought, you know, I'm not really into this. And now you're an adult and you're not hungry anymore, but you're still listening. Or you still come and sit in church. I don't know how to make you eat. I don't know how to create that hunger in you that Jesus is longing for you to have. I don't know how to do that. You know, I have many friends at Culver, so many of them. I just wish that they would just taste and see that the Lord is good. And that they, I know if they did that, their appetite would become alive. And we find that satisfaction is only in Jesus. Let's go back to the restaurant. Back at the Cheesecake Factory. So there I am, sitting at the table, flipping through the menu, trying to find something. And I ask myself, well, what else is there? Is there something else? But I know that the only thing that will satisfy ultimately is Jesus Christ. And I just want to say, everything in your life ordered off the menu, if it isn't Jesus Christ, is just empty. So the waiter asked me finally, well, have you decided? The truth is satisfaction is only found in him. There's only one meal that will satisfy. Every time we come together as a church, we have this as we call communion. We open up the cup and we take the bread, and it's a small piece of bread and it's a small cup of juice. And we open it up. And you know, sometimes this is the most satisfying meal that I can have all week with my brothers and sisters gathered together. And remember that Jesus is the living bread, that Jesus is the true satisfaction that can only be found in Jesus Christ. It's only him. Jesus is the bread of life. So back at the restaurant, I finally look at the price. I mean, that's the decision. And I ask myself, how much is this meal going to cost? Well, you can't afford it. You don't have enough. But the good news is it's been paid for. The check has been picked up for you. The meal that's offered for you is free right now. The one meal that satisfies, the one meal that costs you nothing, all you need to do is come and eat and partake together. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the bread of life. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, the life. We thank you that life that is truly life is only found in you. Jesus, nothing compares to the true life that you have. So, Father, thank you, Jesus, that you come into our life, that we can live life to the full and to walk with you. Jesus, we thank you for being the bread of life. Amen.